Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 is where we turn to in sacred scripture this morning. Reading that in connection with the fifth commandment as expounded in our catechism. Ephesians 5, starting our reading at verse 22 and reading through to the ninth verse of chapter 6. Ephesians 5. 22. This is God's inspired word. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. For this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Thus far we read from God's holy, inspired word. May he bless the reading of his word unto us. It's in connection with the fifth commandment that we read that passage. So Lord's Day 39 is what we read next from our Heidelberg Catechism concerning the fifth commandment. We have this biblical reformed exposition of the fifth commandment. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? Are you paying attention, children? Especially this speaks to you. Answer, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity, old word for faithfulness, to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved congregation, the fifth commandment of God has to do with a basic relationship of life. One that affects all our other relationships. Not just the relationship between parents and children, but also husbands and wives and every other relationship outside the home and family. That's why this commandment stands at the very head of the second table of God's holy commandments. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that the second table of God's law is separated from the first. For the second table of God's law serves and also is dependent upon the first. That first table of the law we had considered carefully over the past 4 Sundays, as we have seen, that has to do with the love relationship we have with our God, how we are to show our love to God in those 4 main ways. Number one, we are to have Him, Jehovah, as God alone. So it's loyal love, exclusive love and service to Him alone. We are to worship Him only as He commands. We are to reverence His name and not blaspheme it in the slightest way. And we are to call the Sabbath, His holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, as we saw last Sunday. Those are the 4 main ways in which we show love for God. But beloved, let's understand too that true love for God comes to expression in our love towards the neighbor. That is always the case. Understand that there is no true love for the neighbor. There is no true obedience to God with respect to the neighbor when the love of God is absent from our heart, our mind, and our soul. We either love God and then we can love the neighbor, or we live in hatred towards the neighbor as a reflection of the reality of hatred in our hearts for him. Now, obedience with respect to the fifth commandment is fundamental and follows, and fundamental to everything that follows from the law. When this fifth commandment is transgressed, then understand that the very foundation of love in all our horizontal relationships is destroyed. And also, the very principles that govern the second table of God's law are trodden underfoot. This is why we find it most alarming that we see displays of failure to keep this fifth commandment in the world and in the church world all around us. When there is a rejection of God's authority that He has established amongst men, understand then that that will follow with all kinds of sin in society and in the church world. Sins of slander and backbiting. Sins of deceit. Sins of murder and of adultery. Sins of covetousness. Every other form of hatred. And so, where God-ordained authority is denied or violated, the result is nothing but confusion and chaos in all our lives. And so it is important that we give a careful consideration of our calling in relation to the fifth commandment of God. And so we do so by covering the fifth commandment over two sermons, considering explicitly how this fifth commandment relates directly to the Christian home today, and then, Lord willing, next time, considering how the fifth commandment relates to all our relationships outside the home. So this morning, we hear the word of God concerning the fifth commandment as it applies to our home and family life. Notice with me then, honoring father and mother in the home. The explicit command to children, the implied calling to parents, and finally the incentive given. Children, this commandment pertains to you directly, children and youth. Honor your father and mother in the home. You children understand that commandment, don't you? Honor. Honor your parents. Now, why, children, are you to honor your parents? Why should you honor them? Is it because of the greatness of your parents? You see that from your point of view, you see that they are so tall, they tower way above you. Is it because of their height? Do you honor your father because he's so strong, he can pick you up with one arm and lift you up on high above his head? And with regard to your mother, children, do you honor your mother because she's so good with being compassionate to you, understanding your needs, taking the time to understand your needs day in and day out throughout the morning and evening of each day? Would those be the reasons why you honor your father and your mother? The answer is no. Rather, you honor your father and mother because God has given them. And God has given them to you. He's placed them over you to rule you and to lead you and to govern you for your good. That is the only and right answer. God has given them, your parents, God has given them authority over you. God has placed them above you and given them His authority over you. That's right. Father and mother have God's authorization to rule over you, children. Not only may they rule over you, they must exercise rule over you. A loving rule. This is, after all, the law of love, so that love also is found in this fifth commandment. They are commanded to give loving, biblical, thoughtful leadership and rule over you. They must rule over you because theirs is their God-appointed right and their God-given responsibility. And so now you ask, children, what does it exactly does it mean to honor your father and your mother? Here our catechism instructors are very helpful. Notice, according to our catechism instructors, it means that you show all, quote, all honor, love and fidelity, faithfulness to your father and your mother. Let's notice that word all right there is inserted in there intentionally and purposefully. And that word, that little word all, indicates that your father and your mother do indeed have God's appointed authority over you. You are to honor your parents, children. So what is it to honor? To honor is to reverence. Just as we reverence God's great and holy name, as we heard in the third commandment, so also something of that reverence needs to be accorded to your mom and your dad. You reverence them. You respect them. And so that being the case, I hope and pray that none of our children address their parents by their first name. Jack and Jill. Children, it's not Jack and Jill, it may never be so. It's father and mother, dad and mom, papa and mama. That's one very important way in which we show honor and respect and reverence for our parents. Much like we address the ruler of this country as president, the governor of this state as governor, so on and so forth with regard to all the authority that God gives to us all around us. Honor is reverence and respect. And that's the main thing in the fifth commandment. But understand also that there must also be a holy affection called love. Love for father and mother. This, after all, is God's holy law of love. Let's be mindful here that the fifth commandment is the first commandment of the second table of God's holy law, the law of love. Love for the neighbor. And so, love for your parents, children, is shown by the honor you accord them according to God's holy word. That's right, children. God calls you to love them by honoring them. The summary of the second table of God's law is to love your neighbor as yourself. So children, God calls you to love them by honoring, reverencing them. Still more, with regard to honoring our parents, it means very practically also that we are to show fidelity, that is, show faithfulness to them. In other words, children, be faithful to your parents. Be faithful to them. That's the principle. And so very practically here, given the limited time that I have, three important practical ways in which you children are to be faithful to your parents. Number one, never ever give up on your parents. Do not give up on your parents. Particularly when it comes to a problem, an issue of life that is plaguing you, bothering you. Do not keep that problem and issue of life secret to yourself, hidden from them. Do not do so because you say in your heart of hearts, you have no confidence that they will not deal with that issue. Do not give up on your parents. Speak to them. Speak to them from the heart, particularly when you are growing up, but also when you are young. Our children, when they are young, may have issues and problems that are bothering them, bugging them day after day. Speak to your parents. They are here to help you. Don't give up on your parents. And so number two, it follows from there. Never give up on your parents also means being faithful to them also means that you do not abandon them. Do not run away from home. These things do happen, children, congregation, also among our churches. Do not run away from home. It happens particularly to young adults, youths who are earning extra money now from their part-time jobs after school hours. They are earning extra money. They're not happy in the home. They've kind of given up on their parents, and so they decide to strike it out on their home. They put gas in the vehicle and they drive away from home. They leave home and family. Be faithful to your parents. That's number two. Number three, being faithful to your parents also means this very practically, that you never, never despise their instruction. Do not despise what they say to you. Never despise their rule over you. Rather, take heed to what they tell you, and tell you from the heart, and tell you in love, in order that you may live a holy life before the Lord your God. So children, there it is. That, in a summary, is what it means to keep the fifth commandment, that you show all honor, love, and faithfulness to your father and mother in the home. But still more, children, you also need to pay attention to the way, the manner or the way in which you are to keep this commandment. And our catechism instructors give us three very important points here. Three ways: obedience, submission, forbearance. Let's start with obedience. And let's use scripture here to help us with to give some exposition and meat to obedience. Children, Ephesians 6 verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So two things right there: in the Lord and for this is right. Let's begin with the second one: for this is right. So says the holy inspired apostle Paul. What's going on there, children? Children, obey your parents, for this is right. In other words, the Holy Spirit is saying that it's only right. It's only right that you obey your parents. And so why does God here say that it's only right that you obey your parents? Only one answer, as we've seen before, because God appointed them to rule over you. God put them there. God gave that man, not any other man. God gave that woman, not any other woman, as your parents, your father and your mother. And not merely in name, but also in function, and I would even say office. You parents are also in office. Parents are called by God as parents to rule over you. God put them there, children. Just as God put teachers over you at school, your pastor and your elders and your office bearers over you at church, your president over you in the nation, your civil leaders as well. God does these things. And now we return to the first phrase, in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. What's going on there? Well, a very wise and excellent Bible commentator of old, children, familiarize yourself with this name, John Calvin, has this to say in relation to this verse, quote, It follows that parents are to be obeyed so far as is consistent with piety or loyalty, loyal love to God, which comes first. Notice, consistent with piety to God, which comes first. End quote. So two things here, children. By faith, children, recognize that when you obey your parents, you're obeying God who stands behind them. You obey your parents because you obey Him. That is and must always be first. That's number one. And so number two, if ever, and God forbid this ever happens, children, if ever your parents tell you to disobey God, and you know obedience, you know God's word, if your parents tell you to disobey God, then you may not, you must not obey your parents. And that's because you are to obey God first. Piety and loyalty and loyal love to God first. And then, and because of that, your parents. Children, you are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's obedience. And then secondly, our catechism instructors speak of submission. And notice the emphasis placed on submission in the catechism. It's placed at the start of the sentence. Submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. Why the emphasis? Because our catechism instructors emphasize the heart. They recognize that obedience can be a grudging obedience. Or externally it conforms, it's beautiful. Children do everything, parents, that you tell them to do, but that obedience is only on the surface, external, and not from the heart. And that's why submission. Submission has to do with an attitude in our heart. In order for there to be true loving obedience, there needs to be true loving submission from the heart. And this is where mothers come in as wives. You are a model and example to your children when it comes to submission. Your submission to your husband is an open book of instruction to your children with regard to their submission that they are called to give to you and to your husband in their parenting, in your parenting of them. Submission has to do with the heart. How does it work together with the fact that God places the husband and the father over everyone in the home, including the wife, in respect to the children? Children, God, remember, places them, your father, over you. Well, it's one thing that God put someone in his authority over you. That also needs to be followed up by submission in that you, children, you consciously, from your heart, put yourself under them. Good biblical parenting and observing of the fifth commandment requires both. God puts the parent over the child to rule over them. And the child recognizes But the grace of God recognizes that and submits themselves from the heart to their father and mother in the home. Both are needed. Both are needed. And now notice, continuing on in the practical instruction given out in our catechism, to submit to their good instruction and correction. So it's not only instruction, children, but also their correction of you. You need correction from time to time, don't you? And correction, of course, speaks of chastisement. Then there are various levels and forms of correction and chastisement, particularly when they have instructed you and you know, children, you know what you ought to be doing and you don't. So the very first form of correction or chastisement is just simply a reminder. How does that reminder come to you, children? Sometimes your parents just call you with your first name, carefully spoken. Michael! And if you're still not listening, that goes on to perhaps the full name being called out. Michael Allen Johnson. And for most children, that's quite enough. They've been reminded. They're corrected. But sometimes it goes on. Because we all, our children and ourselves, parents, still have that nature in us. It's called the rebellious nature. Sometimes that's not enough and that goes on. So then comes the thoughtful verbal rebuke. Chastisement is always done in love. So think about how you verbalize your rebuke to your children. As admonition, Ephesians 6 verse 4 reminds us there also needs to be nurture in the admonition. If they don't understand, if you're not sure whether they understand, explain to them why they are being corrected. And if they are still not listening, then comes the proverbial rod of reproof. In my homeland and my culture, the way I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, that came in the form of a cane, a thin, slender cane made of bamboo, flexible, and I got it on my buttocks from my father. How do you administer the rod of reproof in your family and your culture and your land is up to you. But your children need to know a little bit of pain. And for your older children, your young people, that form of the rod of reproof, so that they know the pain, is of course going to take a different form altogether. But parents, you are called to give that correction. And children, you are called to submit to their good correction as well of you. Submit to your parents with regard to their good instruction and good correction. All of that is part of the fifth commandment. But there's also the third way in which you are to honor your parents, and perhaps this is the most difficult one. The catechism instructors tell us, also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Here the catechism is being very realistic that, children, your parents are not perfect parents. They're not perfect, they're also sinners. And they have weaknesses. There are weaknesses in your parents, and that's going to come out in daily living and in their daily parenting of you. Your calling, according to the Catechism and Sacred Scripture, is to patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. It is the case, children, that sometimes your parents are too strict with you. It is the case that sometimes your parents are too lax with you. It is the case, children, that sometimes your parents are not entirely fair in how they treat you. These things do happen. But do not, very practically now, do not do these things. Do not rebel against your parents. Do not rebel against them. Do not resent them for their weaknesses. And do not lose your patience with them either. You are called patiently to bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern you by their hand. This is an area where there could be more development. This is only a summary of the fifth commandment, of course, summary instruction. So that when there are weaknesses, parents, and it's become evident to you, and it's communicated to you in a discreet way by your spouse, by your children, then your calling is to strengthen your parenting in those areas. Address those areas as much as you can. So that's how we are led to the second point of the sermon, the implied calling to parents with regard to the fifth commandment. Since there are weaknesses, and since there's the calling to honor our children, to honor us in an absolute way, it implies that we parents have a calling in relation to the fifth commandment. And very pointedly in general, that calling can be summed this way. Parents, be parents to them. Be biblical parents to them. And by that I mean, from a negative point of view, do not treat your children, and do not treat your children just from a mere factual level that they are your children, that you are biologically their parents, or that technically and legally you are their parents, but that you let them do as they please, that you neglect them, or that you view them as a kind of like a hindrance, you know. They're getting in the way of your plan to enjoy yourself and such and such. Do not do that. Our children are very quick to perceive whether you care, you truly care for them. Our relationship with them, parents with me, must be much more than that we are technically and legally their parents. We need to be biblical parents to them. And that means, therefore, we need to be thoughtful and wise in exercising a loving leadership in the home. Our children need to know that father and mother are ruling in the home, that they mean business. Loving, thoughtful, biblical, loving business from day to day, week to week, month to month. Our children, in other words, are looking for a good, loving rule and order in the home and family life. Now, of course, I know of no child that actually cries out to their parent, "Mom, Dad, I need you to give me rule and order in my life." They don't say that, but they need that. Just as I need rule and order in the catechism classroom for just half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour that I see every week, see them every week, so also your children need a loving rule and order in the home, and they must know that you are consciously giving thoughtful, loving rule in their hearts and lives in the home. Apart from that, beloved, their lives will be insecure. Their lives will be unstable. Their lives will be unhappy lives. The model here of thoughtful, biblical, loving leadership and parenting in the home, the perfect model is, of course, God's fatherhood of us. Thoughtful, perfectly biblical, loving fatherhood of us, without which we will be living in sin, living in chaos and confusion, living unhappy lives. And that implied calling becomes clear when we take into consideration verse 4 of Ephesians 6. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Fathers with me, we do well to give heed to the negative admonition found there in Ephesians 6 verse 4. Provoke not your children to wrath. It's very humbling because there are so many, many ways to do just that with regard to our children. How can we fathers provoke our children to wrath? Well, when we are too strict with them. Don't give them breathing space. Or when we are too lax with them, that too, you have to find a balance. A balance that works for that child specifically and the composition of your children. You have to know your children where to set that middle ground. Too strict continually, too lax continually, or else we can provoke our children to wrath also by being unfair to them. As our children at catechism have been learning, they've been learning in the Old Testament about the imperfect, sinful fatherhood of Jacob. Jacob was favoring Joseph. That created friction and hatred in the family among the children and between parents and the children. We can provoke our children to wrath by showing favoritism, and also we can do that by implementing a double standard. That happens too, unfortunately. "Or these commandments apply to you, but not to me. These rules apply to you, but not to me. I get to do these things because I'm there." That provokes them very quickly to wrath. Trust me. Or else, and now I have to mention the word, we abuse them. As is becoming evident in our churches, so many ways to abuse our children. Verbal abuse that happens so quickly when we lose our patience. God forbid that's intentional and consistent. Verbal abuse, we may not even know it. Verbal abuse, emotional abuse that has happened in our churches as well. Physical abuse that has happened too. And yes, most grievous of all, sexual abuse.
these things do happen, these things have happened in our churches. We need very carefully to give heed to Ephesians 6 verse 4. Fathers and mothers, provoke not your children to wrath. So now on the more positive end with regard to this negative admonition, how shall we do that? Well, a most common way in which we perhaps in our daily lives provoke our children to wrath is when we treat our children not in accord with the phase and stage of growing up where they are at. Most glaringly, of course, we could treat a 12, 13, 14-year-old as a 2, 3, 4-year-old. That's an extreme example. But recognize with me, parents, that your children are continually growing and changing. Those years of growing up and changing happen and pass by so quickly, but they're changing from month to month, they're changing from half a year to half a year, quarter by quarter, they're changing. They're changing year after year. And as they are changing and transitioning, we are called to keep up with them with regard to their peculiar needs at that particular point in time. And those needs keep changing. One quick way in which we provoke our children to wrath is when we treat them not according to their phase and stage of life. So positively, spend time observing, listening to your children. It takes time, patience to observe and keep up with your children, to hear what they hear, to understand what they see and understand, that you may be effective parents. And that's why the Lord tells us positively in Ephesians 6 verse 4 in this regard, that you are to nurture, we heard the admonition part with regard to correction earlier, that you are to nurture your children. And that nurturing is a process. Nurturing a child is not a one-time thing. It's a process, it's lengthy, it's time consuming. We are called by God to invest our time in regard to the nurture, the thoughtful, biblical, loving nurture of our children. And here, communication is key. Your children need to feel comfortable speaking with you, and you need to speak with them. You need to hear and listen. You need to understand and perceive. You need to observe. But you need to speak to them. Communication is key. As between husband and wife, communication is key to successful, happy parenting. And children, again, speak to your father and your mother. Tell them what you are thinking. Tell them what's in your heart. In other words, build up that relationship, that parent-child relationship. All of that is needed, and all of that is called for by God with regard to our responsibility to nurture our children. So parents with me, do these things. And children, honor your parents. The Lord, of course, knows and understands that these things are difficult to do so, but they're not impossible. We are able to do these things because of the grace, the overflowing, faithful grace of God administered to us in our hearts and minds. We're able to do these things. So what's the incentive? He gives incentive recognizing that these things are difficult. He gives an incentive in relation to the fifth commandment. The first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This incentive was that of a good, happy, blessed life in the land of Canaan, which is of course a picture of life in heaven, where there will be perfect joy, love, and happiness. Well, today, this incentive is the good, blessed, happy life that is on earth. In the home, first of all, and ultimately continuing on to that perfect bliss and joy in heaven above. The incentive is this. True happiness. We sang of the secret of a happy life. Give counsel to my word. Give heed to my counsel and my word. And soon we're going to conclude the service with the Psalter 360, the family happiness is the title of that number. This fifth commandment is pivotal and basic to true, happy, joyful Christian living that begins in the home with our children and that accompanies them outside the home more and more in their hearts and life. This is great encouragement, beloved. Great encouragement for imperfect parents to rule and to rule well over our children in love. And great encouragement for our children to honor their parents, to honor them in the way of faithfulness and love to them. And ultimately, to love the Lord their God themselves. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless this word and cause us to grow in our parenting of our children and cause our children to grow in their honoring of us. In this way, O Lord, provide for us happy marriages and homes, happy children, happy parents, and therefore a happy and joyful church. May that joy and that happiness show forth more and more each day, and may it be a wonderful witness to the world around us of the precious gospel love of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.